For the last several weeks, we've been journeying together through a season we call Advent, which is a season of preparation for the incarnation of God in humanity. And we've been focusing on symbols, symbols of the Christian faith. And I want to just recap them today for a moment. We started by talking about the Advent wreath, which symbolizes, of course, no beginning and no end, and then also the fact that it never dies. It's an evergreen. And the candles that are lit around that wreath have two purposes: to remind us, one, that it's a time of waiting, and two, that we are bringing more light into darkness. Yesterday, I think, was the shortest day of the year. And so starting today, each day gets longer and more light comes into the world and into our lives. We also talked on that first Sunday about the manger. And the manger is where Christ was laid after he was born. It's a symbol of humility, a symbol of being the food upon which the animals ate, and Jesus being, of course, the bread of life for us. Then we talked about the star. We talked about perhaps it is an astronomical feature, or perhaps it is a spiritual feature called the Shekinah of God that we see when Moses comes down from receiving the Ten Commandments, when Jesus is transfigured and is seen with the prophets and then is lifted up again in his ascension into heaven. We see the skies around him shining. Then we talked about angels. Angels are messengers. Angels are messengers of the divine will. They help us to be able to discern what is our will and what is the will of God. They lead us. They guide us. They give us warnings and messages upon which we choose to act or not. And today, we talk about a symbol of sheep and shepherds. Now, this guy here looks like he's ready for shearing. And that's one of the parts we're going to talk about today. What is the nature of sheep? What is the nature of shepherds? One thing as you look at the Lord's table this morning I want you to notice is when we started our Advent journey, we had three candles. And now look at the light that is coming forth from that today. That's part of our Advent journey, preparing ourselves, understanding that Christ is the light that comes into the darkness of the world. Another symbol of our faith. So today we look towards sheep and shepherds. You may not know it, but sheep are mentioned and shepherds are mentioned over a dozen times in Scripture. Many different ways, many different places. Starting, of course, in the book of Genesis, as early as the fourth chapter. And as late in Scripture as Revelation, the 12th chapter, we find references to sheep and shepherds. But honestly, I don't think we understand a whole lot about what that means. Oftentimes, great people in biblical history are referred to as having been shepherds. For example, Abraham, Moses, and David all were professionally shepherds. That was what they did. The duties of a shepherd, in Palestine particularly, in that area of Bible took place, their duties were very onerous. In the early morning, the shepherds would lead forth the flock from the fold, marching at its head to a spot where they were to be pastured for the day. There, the shepherd watched them all day long, taking care that none of the sheep strayed. And if any did elude his watch, and they wandered away from the flock, the shepherd would seek them out diligently until he found them and bring them back. In those lands, shepherds were required to be supplied regularly with water. They had to be able to lead the flock to water. And during certain times of the year, that was easier than others. Certain times of the year, there were running streams they could lead them to. Other times, they had to lead them to wells, where the shepherds would draw the water for them, and through troughs, water the sheep. At night, when they would return to the fold, the shepherd would go before them again, and as they passed through the gate or through the opening into the home, depending on the size of the flock, it was the shepherd who would count them to make sure that they were there, all of them, and that they were all safe for the evening. But the shepherd's work wasn't done then, because at night the shepherd had to guard the sheep through those dark hours to protect them against wild beasts and against prowling thieves. The shepherd's work was never done. And the sheep oftentimes were totally unaware of the work that the shepherd was doing. There were seasons for shepherding as well. In spring, each day a shepherd might take the flock from a pen or the fold near home to graze on the fresh green growth in the nearby pastures. During this time, workers would also shear the sheep, like that guy needs. And this was an occasion to celebrate, because from it came new clothes, came new garments for the house, new different ways to care. They used every bit of the shearing for products in their lives. A villager might only own a few sheep, and so he would oftentimes hire a shepherd who would add the small flock to another one. And then hired shepherds would take care of the larger flocks. Now, as happens, if you think about it, if you are guarding your own flock, I think you're going to put more attention to their safety. Hirelings tend not to do that. They tend to just look at it like a job. And in that, yeah, one or two go missing, what the heck? But at the end of the day, when they bring those sheep back to their owners, it matters deeply. It matters deeply to the owner. After the fields were harvested, the shepherd would allow the sheep to graze on new shoots and on grain left among the stubble. And when summer heat set in, shepherds moved their flocks to cooler pastures on higher ground. They would move up the mountainsides, and they would graze on what they could there. For days on end, shepherds would work and sleep outdoors, allowing the flock to graze on the green slopes and spend nights guarding the sheep. They would build small makeshift pens to protect them as they were in new terrain. At times, the shepherd might shelter the flock overnight in a cave, where they'd be protected from animals like jackals or hyenas. In the howl of a hyena, the sheep would panic, and you'd often hear playing instruments or singing softly to the flocks as David played a lyre, so that they could calm the nerves of the sheep that were under their care. And again, each evening, the shepherd counted the sheep and checked on their health. In the morning, he would call and the flock would follow him to pasture ground. If you have never seen sheep and a shepherd, it is amazing to be able to see how the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. Even if there are different shepherds and different sheep in close proximity, when one shepherd calls, the flock under that shepherd's care comes. It's an amazing thing to see. toward the end of the dry season. A shepherd may move the flock to the coastal plains and the valleys that are starting again to have water in them. When the cold rains begin, he would lead them back home to winter indoors. Otherwise, the animals would perish outside in the last rain, the hailstorms, and the snow. And from November till spring, shepherds would not graze their flock outdoors. Instead, they would keep them indoors and they would go forage for them. And they would bring the food that they could gather back in to feed the sheep. That's kind of the rhythm that goes on regarding the care of the flock. But one thing we haven't talked about yet are the sheep. Sheep tended to be social animals, and they could not fend for themselves. Sheep would stay in one place and eat the grass to the ground, and then wonder why there wasn't grass there anymore. Right? It was up to the shepherd to lovingly guide them into new pastures where there was good food, where there was water upon which the sheep could feed and drink. But left to their own devices, the sheep would scatter off and would stay basically in the same place and die. So the role of the shepherd was to lead and guard and protect the sheep who themselves could not sustain themselves. The frequent use of the word shepherd in Scripture indicates a spiritual overseer. And that term should be familiar to most of us who have had exposure to the Bible. Sheep without a shepherd typifies individuals or nations who had forgotten Yahweh. Jesus in the New Testament is spoken of as the good shepherd in John 10, the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5, the great shepherd in Hebrews 13, and the one shepherd in John 10. He's called that because shepherds require a strong sense of sympathy and empathy for the helpless animals under their care. Though sometimes misdirected, this is a marked characteristic during the history of God's relationship with God's people in the Holy Land. Oftentimes, the birth of offspring of sheep would cause a bit of a problem because the ewe would be down for several days, making the lambs vulnerable. And in those cases, it was the shepherds who would come and tend to the mother as well as bring the lambs to the shepherd's self and guard them and lead them back to the flock. That was that deep sense of caring, that putting others before self, putting the responsibility before desire, that characterized both literally the shepherd and spiritually the shepherd within Scripture. We see today the last Sunday of preparation before we enter into the feast and the season of Christmas. It's to take a look at the story of Jesus' birth, and I ask you to do it through the lens of sheep and shepherd. Think about what we've just talked about, and then let's hear this story from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. And again, I'm reading from the message. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. When he was trying to figure a way out of this, he had a dream. And God's angel spoke in the dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit-conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus," which means God, "because he will save his people from their sins." This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to a full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for "God is with us." And then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. But he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. And he named that baby Jesus. The imagery of caring, of leading, the imagery of shepherding is so pregnant in that passage. And the result of it is we will celebrate this week in the incarnation of God through Jesus Christ. This Advent, we have been talking about questions. Questions. And so I want to pose a couple more today. Let's review, though, first where we've been with our questions, because this is the work that we have wanted to do as we wait, as we prepare to make Christmas special this year. We started off by asking the question, how do you select the symbols of faith that have deep biblical meaning for you and that also personally reflect your love of God in Jesus Christ? I want to say that again. How do you select symbols of your faith that have deep biblical meaning and that also personally reflect your love of God in Jesus Christ? I'd like to ask now, and instead of going into table talk, I'd just like you to kind of shout it out. What are the symbols that you hold most dear in your Christian faith? Anyone? Your cross. Who said that? Why? So I hear you say that it's from your mom, and it indicates her desire to pass the faith down and to show you how important Jesus was to her. Is that close? Thanks. Any others? Please. Why your Bible? The Word of God. And the Bible is a symbol, and as we've said, it's always good to have a roadmap, right? And that roadmap is the Bible. But what it gives to us, even more importantly, is a guide. And that guide is Jesus Christ. Amen? Other symbols that you hold deep in your faith. Please. Sheep. Why? Sheep people. It reminds you that you need to be led every day and in everything you do. Thank you. Others. How about you guys? Anything up here? Not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot. Anything? How about you? Anything more? Yes, please. United Methodist pin. I love. Why? It was given to you at your baptism by your mother-in-law, and that you hold dear as a symbol of your faith. Thank you. Did I see one, Bonnie? Metamorphosis. Butterflies is what she's saying. And it symbolizes rebirth, new life. Amen. And through that, you feel close to your faith. Amen. Any others? Where, please? An angel. Why the angel? Your dad was in the Navy, and the angel on your tree was from where? The year you were born. Angels are all around us and they keep us safe. They're protecting, right? Any others? Please. Sunrises and sunsets because the beginning and end, the natural flow and rhythm of the day and of life. Thank you, Carol. Any others this morning? For those of you that answered, thank you. Because using symbols to connect deeply with our faith is extremely important. And for those of you that didn't respond this morning, I pray that you continue to think through this. What are the symbols that tie you to your faith, that represent what you believe? And do you know the real meaning of them? Because oftentimes our symbols take on secular meaning that we just adopt, rather than going deeper and understanding what the real root of that symbol may be. If you have a favorite symbol, continue to dig into it. Continue to dig into it. Continue to understand its origins, what it really meant to people long ago, what it is that connects you to them and their faith as well. Another question that we asked. Will you follow where the light of Christ leads you? Will you follow where the light of Christ leads you? We talked about the wise guys who left Iran to journey to find the king of the Jews, not their own. A different place, a different entire culture, which shows that God's love of all people, not just the Israelites, but all people, the Gentiles as well, you and me, is as real as it is for the tribes of Israel. Are you listening and watching for the messages that God is still giving to humanity? The corollary question to that was, do you believe God is still speaking to humanity? Or when humans closed the can of Scripture, stopped talking? You have to answer that question first. And I really hope you believe that God is still in conversation with humanity. God is still part of us, as we are always part of God. And then we asked, what great message are we preparing ourselves to receive from God this season? What great message are we preparing ourselves to receive? Is it a message that we will open our heads and our hearts to? You know, oftentimes Christmas can become very heady as we take care of the stuff that surrounds Christmas, as we prepare. But preparation for us is buying presents and putting up trees and putting out garland. Have we also done the spiritual work, the spiritual preparation, that really is what we are asked to do by God, to accept the incarnation through Jesus Christ? And today, we ask, and Kim, I really need you to answer this for me. Do we need a shepherd to guide us, to keep us safe, and to lead us to green pastures? Kim would say, amen. What do you say? Amen. But before we answer too quickly, do you really believe it? You know the right answer, but do you really believe it? Don't take this question lightly, because it comes smack into contact with our desire to guide ourselves during all seasons, thinking our pasture that we choose for ourselves is best. Be careful, because if you're anything like me, that is a really easy trap to fall into. Do you really think you know better than the one who is to care for you and lead you into places of nourishment and safety? Do you really? If you do, go back and think of the reason for the first symbol that we used, the manger, which was humility. Are you still convinced that the old pastures, barren and overused as they may be, are really still the best? Refusing to follow into new lands and into new territory, even into new elevations. Brothers and sisters, symbols are powerful. And we must choose to clearly understand them. Sheep, shepherds are central to our Christian faith. And understanding these symbols correctly helps us to know our proper roles in God's kingdom and in Christ's church. If you've walked this journey over these past weeks, I think you, like me, will be ready to welcome the greatest miracle that humanity has ever known this week. Amen. Amen.